Over the last three Sundays, when I was called on to have a word in English, we stopped and looked at a verse that's very well known to us. It's the motto of our church, and it talks about being a new creation. And if you remember, during those three occasions, we said that something truly remarkable happens to us when we're saved. We are placed in Christ. The verse says that if we are in Christ, everything else is true. And because of that, we are renewed from the inside out. Once this renewal begins, our old way of doing things is replaced by a new way of doing things and of thinking. I emphasize that the believer has a life of victory over sin. And I want to encourage you not to believe anyone who claims that we can't have victory over sin. The normal Christian life is one of overcoming sin, the world, and the devil. That's the norm that we see in the Bible. And all this is accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the power to actually live holy lives. And it's all a matter of God's grace. But in spite of all those changes, the believer doesn't lose his or her ability to sin. Nor do we attain sinless perfection in this life, although this is the end result of salvation in glory at some point in the future. The reason we can't get to that right now is because we still have an old nature. It is up to us to make sure that we nurture the new nature and not the old nature. We have to grow our new nature, and we have, the Bible says, to put to death the old nature. But even so, even though we know those things and we try to do them, we still often fail. And the question is, how do we deal with failure? How do we deal with sin? That's what I want to talk about this morning. And we could look at this in several different ways. But I think one of the better ways is to always go directly to the Word and see what a certain portion of Scripture has to say about it. And I'd like to ask you to stand. We're going to read a few verses from 1 John chapter 1. And we'll begin with verse 8. We'll go all the way to John 2, 1 John 2, verse 2. Here's what the Apostle John has to say. If we claim to be without sin, I'm reading from the NIV today, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Please be seated. I was reading something on the website of a well-known ministry, and the pastor was writing that he received a letter from a young man named Aaron, who was a recent college graduate, and he said that this is a story. The pastor was saying this is a story that they hear often. He was brought up in the church, and he had been taught about salvation in Christ all his life, yet he saw a significant contradiction between what he said he believed and how he actually lived. This young man knew that the people who belong to God are no longer slaves to sin, yet he lived in a grievous pattern of sin. He believed Jesus died for his sins, yet he admitted that this profession had only one effect on him. It gave him the license to sin. He felt bad about his sin, but not bad enough to stop. And then it goes on to say that recently, things changed because the Lord brought some difficult circumstances that made Aaron realize that he was more concerned about his own reputation than about pleasing God. And in the midst of a severe trial, he came across a series of messages from this website, from this Christian ministry site. about salvation, service, saved, or self-deceived. And as he listened, he realized that he had more in common with the person whose foundation was built on the sand than the one who built his on solid rock. You know, you don't have to be put through trials to deal with the problem of sin. Whether small or big, sin is something that has to be addressed. This is probably one of the two or three very unpleasant topics for most people to hear or to be confronted with. But let's listen and let's see what the Apostle John has to say about this matter. In the verses we read, we're going to see that, first of all, the Apostle says that we need to admit our sin. The second thing that he says is that we need to confess our sin. And then finally, he says in these verses that we need to trust in the work of Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. Let's look at those three things. Admit your sin. That's what verses 8 and 10 tell us. Verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, we don't need to look for excuses. We don't have to say it's somebody else's fault. I didn't mean it. We don't need those kinds of things. Don't minimize sin. Don't say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Nobody will find out. Even if they do, nobody really cares. You know what? God does know, and he does care. It is a big deal to him. It should be a big deal to us. If you don't admit yourself, if you don't admit your sin, if we don't recognize that we sin, what are we doing? We're just deceiving ourselves. And what do we gain from deceiving ourselves? Absolutely nothing. We have everything to lose. But worse than that, when we deny that we have sinned, we're actually making God a liar. Are we prepared to do that? Do we really want to do that kind of thing? I don't believe any of us want to do that or say that. But notice that John says, and by the way, before I go on, all those verses are directed to believers. These are not verses that are out there for unbelievers. But John says, and his word, if we don't admit our sin, his word is not in us. But if you look at it the other way, this little phrase tells us that if the word of God is in us, then if it has filled our being, if it has penetrated our hearts, then we are less likely to deny our sin before God. If the word of God is in us, we're not going to deny our sin, because the word will make us aware of the presence of sin in our lives and of our need to confess it. Let me ask you a question. Do you read the word of God? Do you read his word? Do you make time for it every day? It's one of the most important things that you can do. You shouldn't put that off. Give it a priority. Make it a priority in your life. But notice that John says another thing. Not only admit your sin, but in verse 9 it says, confess your sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. After you admit the fact that you have sinned, you have to take it a step further, and that is to confess it to God. God already knows. You're not supplying God with any kind of new information. He already knows. But it is beneficial to us to confess our sin to God. And God is faithful to his promises. And he will most certainly, and I want to emphasize this, he will most certainly forgive your sin. How many times? As many times as you confess it and you bring it to him. God will forgive your sin. And finally, after admitting your sin, after confessing your sin, the Bible says that we should trust in the work of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Once you deal with this problem, you have to put it to rest. Understand that we are a family. We come to God as our Father. We don't come to him as our judge. Jesus is the unique Son of God. Verse 1 says, my dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is our advocate to the Father. He is a friend in court, a mediator. He is a defense attorney. That's who Jesus is for us. And he pleads our cause before God the Father. In Hebrews, we read chapter 7, verse 25, that therefore, and it's talking about Jesus, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Right now, the Lord Jesus is in heaven interceding for us on behalf of us before the Father. Jesus is qualified to do this. Verse 2 of chapter 2 says that he is the one who paid the penalty for our sins. Because of that, he is the one who can go before the Father. He is qualified to go there and to say that he has paid for our sin. And that's the sin that we confess. So how do we deal with it, with sin? At least what we see from John, 1 John chapter 1 and following, we deal with it by first admitting our sin, but then confessing it, and then trusting in the work of Christ for the forgiveness of that sin. That's how we deal with sin. And by the way, I want to say again, and I want to make it clear, that what I have said here, just like the apostle, is for those who have put their trust in Christ for their eternal salvation. I have explained how to deal with sin as a believer, not as an unbeliever. If you have not taken that step, if you have not put your faith in Christ, then you have to do something else. You have to come to Christ. You have to look at the one who was crucified. You have to believe that he died and rose again, that he died for your sins, and then you will also be forgiven of your sins. And then the things that I said today, will apply to you as well. Again, the matter of sin is a very serious matter. God takes it seriously. We ought to take it seriously. We have a way to deal with it when we see it creep up in our lives. We have to cut it off and go back to the Bible and to the teachings of the apostles and make sure that we don't let it to develop and get a hold of our lives. May God help us to do that. Amen.